Okay, thank you for joining. We are ready here. This is Key to Redemption, episode 27. This is called First Things First. We're learning, this is Devar Malchus, Parshas Bereishis, and we are holding chapter 5. Okay, so we've established in the first two classes, we discussed some of it yesterday also in the Parsha class called Who is Hamas? Who are the Jews? But this is very fundamental, and that is that the idea we were learning is that the Bereishis, which it says in the beginning, and the beginning means for the sake of Israel, and the sake of the Jewish people, God created the world, the uniqueness and the specialty of the Jewish people is two-pronged. There is a uniqueness and a specialty in terms of the spirituality of the Jew, the soul of the Jew, and that type of, and that greatness, and that uniqueness, and that specialty is utterly above creation and above the world. But then there's another element, and that is that in the very, very physical, concrete, material existence of this world, let's put it this way, a world not without religion, without anything that has to do with any elements of a connection to what's beyond the world, spirituality and so on and so forth. Just the fact that there is a world existence, physical existence, with all the aspects that run within the physical world, material physical life, and over there as well, God selected the Jewish people and made them His in the most material plane of existence, because after all, the material physical world, as much as it is in its most material form, in its most physical form, I mean, it has a relationship with God. Why? Because He's the creator. So even before we introduce anything above the world, like mitzvot and things like that, God's the owner of the world because He created it. And in that world, He embedded Himself in the world by selecting a selection within this world and claiming it His. And that is the Jewish people. Primarily, we said, the point of access in which He connects is the Jewish bodies. He connected and He said, these are My bodies, meaning these are the ones that later He's going to select these bodies so that they will do Torah mitzvot. But the first thing is, He says, these are Mine, which means this is His portion within the world. And as we're going to see today, how did God reveal that unique connection that he selected is in the fact that He gave Israel a parcel of land, the Jewish people. And He said, this is your land, the holy land of Israel. This is the land that God designated to the Jewish people. In that way, He demonstrates His selection in this world. Okay. So based on this idea, we will also understand, He says in chapter 5, the first Rashi. Rashi says, again, the first comment that Rashi makes is that the Torah should have started from the first mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of setting the calendar, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is in later in the book of Exodus. But why did the Torah start with the story of creation? So Rashi brings a verse in which it says, a verse of Psalms, where it says, the power of His deed, God related to His people so that He can give them the inheritance of nations. So what does that mean? And when God related to His people, which means God transmitted in the Torah, the story of creation, that means the power of His actions, that the force that God made, and He brought creation into existence. He brought the cosmos and the world and the universe into existence, including planet Earth and all the billions of people that are on it. God brought us all into existence. That's the power of His actions. But why did He relate to us that He was the one who did it? What does He put that in the Torah? So that we should know something. What should we know? That the Jewish people are God's people. And that He made a selection. And therefore, Rashi says like this, because one day the nations of the world are going to make a claim, and they're going to cry out on the streets of Los Angeles, of Sydney, of San Francisco, of London, of France, in all the places that the marchers are marching. And they're going to scream free Palestine. And they're going to scream that this is occupied territory. This was all predicted to us crazy, the week that all this balagan went down, all this craziness happened, that's the week we're actually reading this. The day, forget about it, the day that this horrific onslaught happened was the day the Jewish people concluded the Torah. In Israel, they concluded the Torah, and they started the new book of Bereishis on that day. And here you have a commentary. The nations one day will wag their finger at you, and they will say, you're robbers, you're thieves, you're taking land that's not yours. Jewish people have to know the answer. God is the creator of the world. He has a piece in this world. He has a piece of real estate. He has a chosen people. He took that land and he gave it to his people. In the words of the Rebbe, the novelty over here is not that the Jewish people and the Torah are above the world, spiritually connected to God in some spiritual connection and joy. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about physical, material, physical existence in the world of real estate, in the world of people and nations having claims to land, in a world where the Jewish people could be brought up to the held at the UN or in various different places, international court, and the Jewish people could, God forbid, be dragged to court and be accused of stealing land. You've taken the land of the ancients who lived in the land before you guys came there, right? Living back then, which means we're talking about a reality that is not, you know, lofty. It's very much a question of legality in the material physical world. Right over there needs to be revealed. Right over there, the Jewish people need to declare, and the nations need to accept this truth, because ultimately this is God's world, and everybody needs to comply with the idea or accept that this is God's world. And what's the answer? That within this world there is a peace and a people that enjoy a special relationship with God. They are God's, the land of Israel and the Jewish people. Therefore, what did God, and therefore, yes, indeed, first he gave the land to the nations, but then he took it away from them and he himself gave it to the Jewish people. And here is where the Rebbe adds the most very important idea. Not only because the Jewish people are chosen to be God's people, did God give them a land, and that's just, you know, some other perk. You know, you're my chosen people, I'll give you a land. But actually, this was the action that God did in order to demonstrate to the entire world, in order to wave a flag that these are my people. What was the action that God took to wave that flag, to notify the world that he has a people? Was the very idea that he first gave the land to someone else, then he takes it away from them and he gives it to Jewish people, which he has not done ever to any other country. Other than, of course, God is the one who orchestrates all the events of the world, and if nations conquer nations, it's ultimately God's doing from behind the screen. But that's all in a hidden way, but on the surface, things are operating just in a natural course. You don't see that. But over here, God directly went, took the land, and gave it to the Jewish people. Back then, when the miracles, when the Jews went in with Joshua, and the Rebbe doesn't say this over here, but the Rebbe said it other times, by the Six-Day War, God demonstrated this again for the entire world to see, that the miracles of that war demonstrated that God himself has chosen this land. Even in modern times, God appeared. That war was just spectacular. And we will see the very same miracles in this war right now. There's no doubt God is with us. The Jewish people are united. We're unstoppable right now. No one should mess with us. The wrong time to mess with Israel right now. What is going on is marvelous and absolutely spectacular. We're going to see the most craziest miracles right now because we're standing all in unification. The Jewish people have also turned to God in a very deep way. This is going to be spectacular. But in any case, when Hashem has done that in recent times also, is that he is making the claim, this world is my world, I'm attached to this world, I'm deeply connected to this world, I have a say in this world. Yes, not in the realm, not in synagogues, not in churches, not in, that's not the, when it's in court of law, in the most down to earth physical realm. In the most, I'm trying to find the right wording for it. In the business as usual world, in the world of business, in the world of everyday life, there is a creator. And he is attached, and he is connected, and he has chosen what he has chosen. Now, to add to that, so the Rebbe continues, and he says, this theme is later brought even stronger in the end of Parshas Noach. We go to Parshas Lech Lecha. You see, the Rebbe is extending it all the way to Parshas Lech Lecha. Because in Parshas Lech Lecha, it relates the third Torah portion, how God reveals himself to Abraham, and he tells Abraham, and again, Abraham is the first Jew, and God says to Abraham, leave your land, leave your birthplace, and leave your father's home, and go to the land that I will show you. So here, by the fact that the Torah emphasizes that God is talking to Abraham and tells him to leave your land, God sets him on this migration that he should go to the land of Israel. When he gets to the land of Israel, God then promises him that land. What the Rebbe is seeing in it is something very, very strong related to what we're saying. God is not speaking in the spiritual abstract to the holy Abraham, that is soul, who's illuminating in all the spiritual worlds above. It's not a heavenly discussion. It's a very, very grounded discussion. And you see it from the way God is telling Abraham, leave your land, leave your birthplace, leave your home. We're talking about Abraham living and being connected to a certain home, to a physical place in this world where he lived, where he grew up, where he had connections to, where he had his local bank and he had his local post office and he had his everything of the material, regular, you know, life that Abraham was living. And in that world, God says, leave that, go to the land of Israel. In other words, I am directing you as a physical human being to attach yourself to me in a physical way by going to the physical piece of land that I am telling you. And when Abraham goes to that physical territory, God makes a covenant with him and he tells him, this is the physical earth that I'm going to give you, emphasizing that the relationship of the Jew and God, and via that, God with the entire world, is not some metaphysical spiritual idea. It's something carved in the very, very substance, in the very earthiness of the world. And deeper than that. And then what does God say? And in that land, the land that I will show you. So there's the regular interpretation. Whichever land I will show you, because Abraham didn't know where to go. He didn't have Google Maps. So he was following wherever God was showing him, or God was his GPS. But on a deeper level, the land that I will reveal you, which means I will reveal who you really are. Because as we said earlier, God reveals who the Jew is by giving him a land. Now that land was already occupied land. What do you mean? God takes Abraham and brings him to an occupied land and says, you'll settle over, but there are people living here already. You can't just come over here. The answer is, God says, here is where I am exercising my absolute right on all the real estate of the world to carve out a little piece that I say, that's my land and I'm giving it to my man. So when God is doing that, he's revealing who Abraham is. And on a deeper level, as a result of the physical connection that we have, eventually that serves as the basis to reveal the ultimate spiritual dynamics, higher and higher and higher and higher, of how godly the Jew is. But where's the point of contact? The point of contact is not in a distant realm. The point of contact is in the material physical world. And precisely in the body and from within the body and from our most physical aspect of our existence, from there is where the relationship is built up. So now we go to chapter 6. Based on all of this, we will understand, because this is all coming to explain, the uniqueness of Shabbos Bereishis. She asked in the beginning, why do we say that the way a person establishes themselves on the first Shabbos of the year, the Shabbos in which we reach Bereishis, that will affect the entire year? So he says, beautiful, based on all of this. We are now we've already established that there are two qualities to the Jewish people. One of them is above the world, the soul connection, and one is a very physical earth connection relating to our bodies, relating to our physical existence. So as this expresses itself in our lives, it also expresses itself in two periods of the year. During the month of Tishrei, which is a very lofty month, which is a very holy month, most of the time, we as Jews are completely withdrawn from the world. We're celebrating holiday after holiday. Even the days that are weekday are like the 10 days of tshuva, 10 days of repentance, or between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, which are all like kind of very spiritual, lofty days. So we're kind of in the clouds. So what's dominating during this, and then comes the month, the holiday of Sukkot. We're not even living in our homes. We're living in a booth, which is like which is God's protection and the clouds of glory. We're completely immersed in. So it's like an otherworldly experience. We've kind of been elevated to our soul. Our soul takes over. Our soul is dominant. There is no body now. There's no there's not much physicality. We're shining with this godly, supernal, divine, transcendental light. That's the month of Tishrei. And it reaches its zenith on Shmini Atzeres and Simchat Torah. Because then it's like God says, it's only me and you together. We're dancing together. The whole world, as we know, Sukkot is a time that the nations of the world also come to the party. But when it comes to the end, the last day of Sukkot, God says to the nations, now it's just me and my people. No one else can be here. And that's what the celebration of Simchat Torah is all about. So we reach the peak of what we might say transcendence. We don't have any, there's not much connection to the outside world. We're swirling round and round in circles. We're jumping with each other. We're dancing with the Torah. We're holding on to it. It's almost like, as we spoke of other times, the Jew and the Torah become one seamlessly, one entity, one body. So when our entire existence melts into the divine, that's on the month of Tishrei. The rest of the year, the Jew becomes very much part of the world, very much part of time and space, very much part of the mundanity of life, which is everyday living, working, doing business, engaged in the world, very much like the Gentile. But yet, as we said earlier, that as we are and as we exist within the world, the Jew is the primary, he's the foundation stone, he's the cornerstone of all of existence for the Jewish people, for what they will do for the world. All of creation was, everything was created for the Torah, for the Jewish people. And that is highlighted the rest of the year. And that's tougher already. It's easier to reveal the transcendental side of us. It's harder to be embedded in the world and yet recognize and display and express the idea that I'm not just materialistic. There is a divine element to me. There's a divine choice to my body. And therefore, it's holy, it's godly. It should be expressed in everything that we do, right? It's harder. So where do we get the strength for that difficult work? And we're moving over from the month of Tishrei. We're moving into that, into being embedded and planted within the world and do our work there very hard. So we have Shabbos Bereishis. As we spoke earlier, Shabbos Bereishis blesses the month of Cheshvan. It also uplifts the month of Tishrei. So it fuses, it has within itself both the quality of the transcendence, because that's the month of Tishrei. It also has within itself the quality of the uniqueness of being the chosen one, being the selected portion within creation itself. And as a result of this unique combination, it empowers us, because as we said it earlier, to be part of the world and be the selected of it is more difficult. But if in Shabbos Bereishis, when our soul is still shining with all of its brightness, our transcendental side, it empowers our embedded side, we might say, our embedded side, our body, and our physical side that is very much part of the world, for it to sense its elevation, to sense its greatness. And therefore, whatever we do throughout the year, we can feel and we can sense that this is a Jewish life. It's a life that's sacred to God. In the mundanity, it is sacred. That's the idea. And that's why it's so pivotal, Shabbos Bereishis. Based of all of this, the Rebbe says in chapter 7, that the quality of Israel as a chosen people is revealed even in this world, and even in, when we say even in this world, we emphasize not in the religious institutions of the world, but in the political institutions of the world, in the media, in the educational centers. It's in those places where this point is fought the most. But from the very fact that it's fought the most, in other words, the war against the Jews is fought in the universities, it's fought in the media, it's fought in the political arenas of the world, sadly fought also even on the streets. But it's splattered in the newspapers, it's everywhere. It needs to be recognized and appreciated because the Jewish people are at the center of all of existence, of normative everyday living. In other words, you can't live life a normal, regular, non-spiritual, just living to feed your family, to be a good human being, to be a good citizen, a good neighbor, as an American, as a Chinese, as a Japanese, as a Australian, as a Brazilian, as a Mexican, as a South African, as a Zimbabwean, whichever nationality you come from. You cannot live your life kind of ignoring the Jewish people. You cannot. Because everything, the entire world, even in its most mundane form, has a creator. And he built everything, life, material, physical life. It's rotating around Israel, around the Jewish people. And obviously we see that. We see that. And when we try to like turn over the subject and start talking about everything else, it keeps on coming back to the subject. It keeps on getting back to it. It just does relentlessly, does not stop. The world is busy with the Jews all the time. For good or for worse, it's always at the hot topic, because it is the hot topic. Now, how is this supposed to affect our mindset, our psyche as Jews first? Let's talk about it from the Jewish perspective. How is this supposed to affect us? Number one, if God's connection to Israel would have been to our highest element, if God would have he makes his contact with us and chooses us and our people in the point of our most brilliant light, then it would make sense to say that what? That at the time when creation is enlightened, when creation is in an elevated state, when the world is in a more sublime state, higher consciousness, higher awareness, in that place and at that realm, it's revealed and it's sensed that the Jew is special. Because when the world is elevated in the highest space and the Jewish people are in a high level of spiritual attainment, spiritual quality, and so on and so forth, then our light and our shine is evident. We would say that's the time of the Holy Temple. That's the time of the Exodus of Egypt. The time when, after the exit, not before the exit, but the time of the Exodus, time of when the Jewish people received the Torah and all the nations came running. They heard all the sounds and they thought the world would be destroyed, like by the time of the flood. They came running, as it says, to Bilam the prophet, what's going on? And Bilam said, listen, God is giving his power. Hashem oz le'amo yitein, God is giving his power, the Torah, to the Jewish people. That's what's going on. Oh, so everybody knows, wow, Israel is special. The Jewish people are special. Time when the temple stood. There was such brilliant light coming from the Holy Temple. So everybody knew the Jewish people are special. And we, the Jewish people, felt that we are a special people in this world. However, the Rebbe says, that's not where God made his connection. God made his connection in our lowest point. In other words, when we have nothing other than the fact that we are Jewish, and we have no, we don't even see the soul. The soul is obscured and blocked. There's nothing there. All you see is our bodies. And our bodies don't even look Jewish. Like the Gewalt. Even when the bodies are like the most assimilated, the body don't even look Jewish. In other words, the Jews living almost like the non-Jews we spoke earlier, without any trace of spiritual refinement that comes from the mitzvot. And the world is in a very lowly material world, a world that's ignoring God, a world that's very far from any type of which is the time of exile in general, and especially certain times of exile when the darkness gets very intense. So as a Jew, let's first start with a Jew. As a Jew, we can think and feel that in this point, you know, there is no specialty. We're not special. And definitely, we can't feel Atah Barach Atanu, you have chosen us from the nations, because in what way has God chosen us? In what way? What's the godly side of us? Based on what we said before, the godly side of us is that God chose this material substance as being his in this world. You have landed in God's basket. Not because of anything you've ever said, done, thought, experienced, felt. Not because of any quality that you have. It's just the piece of clay, the piece, it's the bones, the sinews, the limbs, the organs that has been chosen by God himself. When we say God over here, as we discussed yesterday, the very quintessence of God to say, these are mine, this is my precious people. And since that's the case, what does that mean is that even in the darkest moments of exile, Jews do never, ever lose their uniqueness and their specialty and their position in the world as God's prized piece within this world, in which everything else was created to support it. In other words, this idea that the Jew is at the center and that everything else evolves around him or her, is a rule that can never change. Because not from God's end and not from our end. From God's end, it can never change. Because had God chosen us because of a reason, because there is some quality, because there's something special, because there's something unique, because of our soul, because of our light, because whatever it is, because of our goodness, because of our kindness, because of our wisdom, because of our creativity, because of our nobility, because of our generosity, because of our, whatever it is, then you can say, when we have those qualities, yeah, when we don't have those qualities, no. But God did not make the choice in our highest moment. He made the choice in the lowest moment. In the lowest, meaning there can't be any lower. Just the material of the body, without doing anything, saying anything, thinking anything, refining anything. Just the substance, the physical substance. This is God's physical peace in this world. And that's why that choice is forever and unchanging, and not for any reason. Because when there's a reason, you can always question, is the reason still valid? There is no reason. It's utterly super rational. It's essence. That's the point. It's essence. It's unchanging. It's absolute and it can't change. And therefore, it needs to be in our head that we are a special people always. And for that reason, here the Rebbe says such something so empowering and so important for Jews to know today, when we feel a little bit the pinch of perhaps some people not being happy with the Jewish people. So it's important to recognize and to understand that a Jew, a man, and a woman of any of our people has nothing ever to fear from any person in the world, nation and people. Even at the time that it looks like we are at the mercy of the nations, God forbid that we are at the mercy of any nation. The Jewish people are not at the mercy of any nation in the world. All of the creations were created for the sake of Israel. And therefore, Israel can never be dependent on the kindness of other nations. That does not mean that when we receive kindness and help and assistance, like the United States of America that has been supporting Israel and other kind people in the world that have standing up, it's not to think for one second that we don't offer thank you and we don't acknowledge it and we don't recognize it and we do. But it's not because we're afraid and we're weak, God forbid, without the nations. How can that be? If the Jewish people are the root and the cause of all of creation, and that is unchanging, so how can it be that they are contingent on the nations of the world? Our existence is as solid as God is, as absolute, as eternal, as unshakable. So hold it, what's with the 2,000 years of exile, of butchery, of extermination, of expulsions, of pogroms, of concentration camps, of intifadas, of massacres, which we've seen? What's that? That's not because nations have any power over the Jewish people. No one has any power over the Jewish people. That's because that's a divine decree, but not because the Jew has an authority over him. The Jew has no authority over him and her. No. And God decreed that when the Jewish people are amongst the nations, God wants you're living for whatever reason till he brings us back to our land. So during this entire sojourn through the exile, there are certain laws in place given to us by God how we must behave towards the nations. Included in those laws are that we must abide by the laws of the land. In other words, even though when we lived in Germany, we weren't Germans. And even though when we lived in Poland, we weren't Polish. And when we lived in Russia, we weren't Russian. We still have to abide by the law of the land as long as the law of the land is not interfering with Torah observance. For example, the laws pertaining to financial matters, paying taxes, you know, doing your obligations as citizens of a certain country. So the Jewish people are obligated to respect and honor traffic laws, business laws, and so on and so forth. Why? Not because there is an authority that controls us, because no one has a right to control the Jews, because God told the Jews that this is the mitzvah of how he wants us to behave. God also decreed during the time of the exile that certain assistance the Jewish people should receive via the nations. It does not mean that the nations are the one who are, because they're kind, that's why we receive it. It's because God has chosen that this assistance that he himself is giving for his people, he decided during the time of exile that he wants to channel it through the various different nations. So the different peoples of the world could be God's agent to deliver this particular aid and assistance to the Jewish people. But it's not because we're looking at it from a very deep and true, a place of absolute truth. It might appear on the outside that Jews are kind of weak and require the assistance and the help, and because of the, and God forbid the nations not come through the assistance, we would have, God forbid, been gone a long time ago. But there's always this one kind nation who offered refugee, who offered assistance or whatever. No, that's not it. Talk about the nations of the world that got involved, and because of that, the Holocaust was stopped. That was God's deliverance. The nations of the world were given the zechut, they were given the merit to demonstrate a assistance to the Jewish people in service of God. So God enabled them to do it, and they will definitely be rewarded greatly for what they have done. But not to believe for one second that the existence of the Jewish people is dependent on anybody We're not dependent on anybody. We essentially don't need any favors from anybody to survive, although we are tremendously grateful when the nations in the world do their duty to God to take care of his people, of his treasure that he placed amongst the nations during the time of exile. During the time of exile, God placed the Jewish people around the world for whatever divine reason that God has, that he wants to do that, allowing the nations to offer assistance, but not contingent ever our existence on them. Because the Jew has to always remember that his uniqueness and specialty as God's people in this world is an eternal and unshakable and unchangeable reality forever and ever and in every circumstance in the world. Such powerful words, says the leader of the Jewish people. He compares it. There is a statement in the sages. Sages say, because Jews have a complex, and sometimes we use biblical, because we've been persecuted a lot, sometimes Jews feel inferior. And this is psychological damage from the exile. It's a messed up thing. Because the sages do tell us that God told the Jewish people, you shall not rebel against the nations. That means that the Jewish people were never allowed on their own to break out of the exile and rebel against the nations. Or there is another statement with this. God says, do not initiate a fight with the Gentiles. Don't start up. So these are statements that the sages have told us and that God had sworn upon the Jewish people. The time comes, I'll facilitate your redemption. Okay? So, but the Rebbe says, that's not because God is telling us, I'm giving you a good idea. You're at the mercy of the nations to try to pacify, try to work well. Don't instigate. Try to keep a low profile. Don't mess with them and so on and so forth. The Rebbe says, no. That is similar to when the words the sages use is al tizgare, do not instigate. So the Rebbe finds a parallel to that in the Torah. When the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt and they were passing to the land of Israel, God warns the Jewish people that when they pass through the lands of Ammon and Moab, these are two nations who lived at the borders of Israel, do not provoke the Moabites, Valtizgar Balmuchama, and do not instigate a war. So it uses the same words, Tizgar, do not instigate, do not provoke a war. So what was that? At that time, the Jewish people were at the height of power. We just gotten out of Egypt. We were going to conquer the land of the seven nations. The Jewish people there was no weakness. We were super powerful at that time. Yet God tells them, do not mess with the Moabites. And the Moabites were already very weak, because the two protectors that were protecting them, the giants, Sichon and Og, had already been killed. They were relying on their protector. That's why Moab panicked and they called Bilam to curse the Jewish people, because Moab was then very weak. And it was not in any way that we were at the mercy of the Moabites. Yet God says, don't touch them. Why does God say, don't touch them? Because he says, because I didn't give you their land. You know, this is not, I gave you the land of the seven nations. I did not give you that land, so don't touch them. So we can compare it, the Rebbe says. Just like over there, it wasn't because there's any weakness, because it's only because God, it's God's world. He tells us what yeah, and God tells us what no. In the same way, during the time of exile, it is the will of Hashem that the Jewish people should live amongst the nations and not provoke, but not provoke because we're weak. And that oy vey, if we will provoke it, the nations would have exterminated us. That's not the reason. It's because God told us so. For whatever divine reason. And therefore, it's understood, here's the words of the Rebbe, very powerful. It's understood and simple that the fact that we are living amongst the nations and must kind of, you know, abide by certain rules and regulations and governing respect the governing power that there is in any given country and be contributors and the like. It says, Rebbe says these words. This does not in any way change in any way the status of the Jewish people as the chosen nation. They remain the chosen nation, the primary element in all of creation. They're the beginning, they're the strength, they're the power, they're the nucleus of every country and in every place. On the contrary, hear this, what the Rebbe says, very powerful. He says that when nations assist the Jewish people, when Jews are in within their countries, that is to, it's not so much to the benefit of the Jewish people, because we would do well either way, because God has our back. It's to the benefit of the nation. And we know that every nation that hosted the Jewish people during the last 2,000 years, that had the majority of the Jewish people, that nation during that period of time was blessed with tremendous affluence, power, and glory. Wherever in ancient times when the Jews were in Spain, Spain was the pride of the world, the power of the world. Where most of the Jews came to America, America shot up and became the most influential, most prosperous, most powerful. That's the reality. So in addition to the fact, very important to fact, that even when it comes, as we spoke earlier, to government, to governing elements, where Jews have to live within the construct of the law of the land, in any land, but in addition to the fact that does not apply to a law which is going to directly affect Jewish observance. For example, in Soviet Russia, there were laws trying to stop Jewish education, from Jews from educating their children as Jews. Jews did not have any obligation whatsoever to obey those laws, even while living in communist Russia, because God never gave the nations jurisdiction over the Jewish people regarding that area. God did give the nations jurisdiction during exile over the Jewish people regarding paying out taxes, regarding living, all other aspects of life, but not regarding matters of Judaism, matters of observance. So if a Jew is commanded by God to circumcise himself, all boys and babies when they're 8 days old, a country has no right to make a law that's forbidding circumcision. And if they do, a Jew should not listen, and the country is in violation of God's will if they made such a decree. And obviously it won't do good for them. Although in this world, sometimes even rebelling against God can, you know, you can get away with that, but not forever, only for a little while, obviously, we understand it. But the Rebbe says, in addition to that, so it's not only that our souls are not in exile, matters of our spirit, but even our bodies are not in exile. What do we mean by that? Our bodies are in exile in the sense that, in as much as physical life is concerned, we are required to follow the systems of the host country. However, the Jew must remember that even his body and even his material substance of his body will always remains the first and above the nations of the world. And this, that the law of the land is a law. This is not because we are essentially subservient and governed by another people, rather because this is God's commandment to us of how he wants us to behave during this time, during the time of exile, because of our sins. This is the way God set it up. Therefore, it's understood as well, and this is what we said this earlier, but the Rebbe, I'm just going to read it over here, regarding kindnesses that the Jewish people receive through the pious of the nations during the time of exiles. And for this, we, I'm just quoting the Rebbe's words in English. The Rebbe said, over here it's in Hebrew. And this, we need to thank them and show gratitude. And so much so that the prophet Jeremiah says to the Jewish people that when you're going to be scattered amongst the nations, seek out the peace of the government that you're in. Pray for the for that government, because when she will have peace, you will have peace. So the Rebbe says, but this is not because the inferior, because of the weakness, and that we need the support of the nation because we're in exile and we're almost, God forbid, falling apart, and we need someone to hold us up. It's not because of that. Quite on the contrary, there's a verse that says the kindness of the nations is a sin. What does that mean? Let's understand the deep meaning of that. It's not that the nations are doing kindness, it's sinful. It's when the nations think that they are doing the kindness to the Jewish people, that's a sin. But when the truth is revealed, that the nations are but just agents of God, which God gave them the tremendous merit that they could lend a hand to the Jewish people. It's a merit for them. If they won't do it, it will come to Israel another way. Like Mordechai says to Esther, if you are not going to go to the king, the Savior, salvation is going to come in a different route. God has a million ways to do what he needs to do for Israel. It's always a zechut and a merit that anyone in the nation who steps up to the plate during the time of need, they're recognized and rewarded for that tremendously. But it's not because the Jewish people are contingent on the nations. And therefore, when we receive assistance in matters of Torah and mitzvahs, whether it's financial assistance, the Rebbe says it's not considered even the kindness of nations, because it's the kindness of God coming through the nations, and therefore it's not a sin. It's not sinful. The nations are not sinning for doing it. We're not sinning for receiving it, because it's all the order and the funnel in which God set up the system in this world. We're all participating in the divine will, which is an opportunity during the last moments of darkness. Right now, we still have that opportunity. For who? For all those who will lend their voice and support for the Jewish people. Know that we are not dependent on anybody's advocating for us. We're not dependent on it. We will do well no matter what. Israel will crush its enemies. The Holy Temple is going to be restored. The Jewish people will be. The question, however, is nations of the world, all the Gentiles in the entire world, you have an opportunity now, which God is giving you, giving to every person in the world an opportunity to stand up and to show support. And this is helpful. But you're actually acting as an agent of God. God is like giving you this power to do so. So when you're doing it on behalf of God, for the Jewish people, and God will never forget that. That needs to be understood. And we, the Jewish people, won't either forget that, because we're thankful that it's coming. But we're not a weak people. There is nothing as mighty and as powerful in this world like the Jewish people. Now, everything that I am saying has been proven to be true. From the fact that we are still here after thousands of years of persecution, from the fact that we have, after all the good Israel and the Jewish people keep on doing for the world, they are constantly under attack. From the fact that the Jewish people, being the minority of the minority of the minority of the minority of the minority, such a tiny little minority, are always in the headlines, are always at the core, they're always this is all a clear testimony to everything that the Rebbe is saying over here. This is the truth. Okay, we're going to conclude over here. We have one more class on this. We're holding chapter 8 and chapter 9. We will do this Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow. We haven't even started Parshat Noach, but this is so vital and this is so important. Take care, everyone. Be well till tomorrow.